Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Well, a hearty Thanksgiving to everyone from Feet to the Fire, and hope that you have a happy and healthy one with your family and loved ones. Favorite holiday? The weather is beautiful, the air is crisp, the food is great, and it's wonderful to celebrate our Christian faith and our American heritage together on Thanksgiving Day. It is a popular topic on Thanksgiving to see articles and to hear stories, the quote-unquote real story or the true story of Thanksgiving. So I figured today, as a special edition, we could take a look again at the story of Thanksgiving and celebrate that together. But it's interesting, as you go online and search for that, the true story of Thanksgiving, it is unloaded on you hordes of articles and opinion statements. The people just love to give the historical revision of Thanksgiving, the new version, and really what they're saying is, here's the story everybody missed, and that is that the evil white Europeans came in, massacred the Indians, stole all their property, and we are now suffering the ravages of a white supremacist culture ever since. That's the message that everybody's telling us about Thanksgiving, and it's wrong, it's inaccurate, it's disturbing, it's part of the left in tearing down and breaking down our heritage, and it's such a depressing way to go into the holiday. But just to give you an idea, here's how the left views America, and then we'll talk about the actual story of Thanksgiving and why there's a reason to celebrate. Article from the Huffington Post. This is dated November 2010. The True Story of Thanksgiving by Richard Greener. Just a couple quotes from these articles so you get the idea of what the left thinks of our country and our heritage. The idea of the American Thanksgiving feast is a fairly recent fiction. Again, these liberals kind of get this high off of saying, you don't know the real story, this patriotic story, it's nonsense. We got the real dirty, nasty details of all the horrors of, again, the evil male white Protestant Europeans who have always hated everybody and still hate everyone. That's a footnote. He says this: the idyllic partnership of 17th century European pilgrims and New England Indians sharing a celebratory meal appears to be less than 120 years old. What? It's 400 years old. He goes on, it was, of course, a complete invention, a cleverly created slice of cultural propaganda, just another in a long line of inspired nationalistic myths. So none of our godly and good heritage is true. It's all falsified to dupe the masses. That's what these folks think. The market savvy, he says later on in the article, the market savvy unleashed by the Europeans upon the Indians constituted the first land use policies in the New World. And in this particular article, the Huffington Post, which is a completely liberal, biased news source, complete progressive news source, he tries to make the point that, you know, real estate and private property rights, that, you know, Christian idea, which he says in a very derogatory way, was imposed on the Indians, who, in his mind, were more obviously what? Socialist communists. They shared everything because they were in love with nature and in love with each other, and they were so peaceful and wonderful. Right, totally. The Indians were noble savages, they'll say, and the nasty Christians with their property rights came in and destroyed the Indian culture. Forgetting the fact that property rights are a biblical mandate, it's part of God's law, and the Indians certainly were savage, and Christianity was an asset once it came here, and many of the Indians were converted. Christianity always helps any civilization into which it is introduced, but not according to this guy's ideas. All right, he goes on. In the 17th century, it was not urban, but rather rural renewal. So again, this theme that the pilgrims came in and stole all their land. The result was, of course, the same. People of color, here it is, people of color with no money to speak of got booted out, and the neighborhood which was subsequently gentrified, and the neighborhood was subsequently gentrified and overrun by white people. So that's what we're being told now, and that's what kids are being taught in school. This is the modern Thanksgiving, that people of color were mistreated, they were poor and oppressed by white people who stole their property. He goes on to say this: "It would serve us well to remember that it wasn't until the victorious colonial militia returned from their slaughter of the Pequot," I believe that's another Indian tribe, hopefully I said that right, "It would serve us well to remember that it wasn't until the victorious colonial militia returned from the slaughter of the Pequot that the new Americans began their now time-honored and cherished Thanksgiving." Then he says, "Enjoy your turkey." And that's how he ends. How depressing. That's Thanksgiving. We slaughtered the Indians. That's not Thanksgiving. But that's what we're made to believe, because we should hate America, because because we have to hate our Christian heritage. That's the whole point. It's an attack on our good and Christian heritage. All right, then the more recent article. This is from the New York Times. As I was searching, another one. This is this month, 2015. Let's all tell the true story about Thanksgiving. Starts out, listen to this, just pulling on the heartstrings. "Let me tell you a story, a true story." This is a teacher writing. "The other night while reading Howard Zinn's A People's History on the United States." Whoa, hold it. Time out. Reading what? Howard Zinn's A People's History in the United States. That just tells you the exact rest of the article. Listen, that's a name that you've got to be familiar with. Howard Zinn wrote this book in the mid-20th century that is now standard reading material on all college campuses, especially in terms of history, political science, and any sort of college credits with regard to U.S. history. This is standard operating procedure, standard reading material on all the college campuses now. It was written. It's a complete historical revisionism. It's not primary source historical writing. It's this lunatic progressive liberal's new take on American history. And this whole idea of the whites came in and slaughtered everybody and stole everybody's property and persecuted every race and every poor person and all women, that Americans and the pilgrims and the founding fathers, they're all just really, all they are sexist, racist, bigoted, poor hating homophobes, that persecuting all of the oppressed of the earth and taking advantage of everyone. That view of history, that's what's new. That's what's been invented. And it came out of this book by Howard Zinn. If you want more information on that, I highly recommend Dinesh D'Souza's movie, came out a couple years ago, called Obama's America 2016. And he documents this progression, especially in academia, of the shift from a true historical perspective where we value and celebrate the godly heritage of the United States. And it flips to this God-hating, Christian-hating, American heritage hating view where all we did was persecute everybody. But it came out of this book. So the first clue that this article has gone bad is that she's reading this, and the first clue to this mom that, sorry, she's probably not a good teacher and she's spewing propaganda into their mind of her students and children, is that she's reading, who reads Howard Zinn, which is propaganda of negativity against our heritage. Who finds that to be good reading material and enlightening and uplifting for Thanksgiving? Okay. Anyway, she's reading Howard Zinn's Book of Lies, and her 7-year-old son came into the room and asked, the article goes on, he asked if I would read the book aloud to him, and a description of Columbus's invasion and the genocide of the Arawak people was told. Come on. Again, we got to hear Columbus and the explorers wiped out, genocide on all the Indians. That's our history now. My eyes welled up as I began to explain a person's ego and drive for power and privilege. He began to cry as he felt the pain of our ancestors. So mom and her kid for Thanksgiving are reading Howard Zinn's historical revisionist novel, and now they're crying over it. This emotionalism. Like the misconceptions of Columbus, the truth about Thanksgiving is often left out of children's education. Turkeys line hallways, happy pilgrims and Wampanoag are featured in projects, glamorized in stories. Over the years, the real Thanksgiving story that included thievery and death of a people was recreated to tell only a happy story. What is she talking about? There's no thievery and death when Squanto helped the Indians have a harvest in 1621 and they all ate together and feasted for 3 days. A happy story makes us feel good, she goes on. Is telling a lie perpetuating happiness, or rather covering a frightful truth in hopes of creating assimilated citizens? What? That's what they think. Gotta dupe the masses by telling this nice story about the pilgrims and the Indians. It's not a nice story, it's a true story. Stopping to give grace or be thankful is not bad, but maybe by telling a fuller story we can open opportunities for healing dialogues. Give me a break. That ending wants to make me puke. I'm sorry, this is not Thanksgiving, and all we're told, it's white guilt. That's all this is now. Guys, you gotta understand, in the media and the culture, all we're getting is white guilt. We should be ashamed of our heritage and not celebrate it. That's ridiculous, and it's not true. I saw this post on Facebook from a friend, and it grieves me. It was something, I couldn't find it again to read it exactly. I couldn't locate it, but it was a picture of some liberal media figure right now in the news, and it was, I guess, a quote from him, but it was printed out. It said, you know, this isn't, talking about the Syrian refugees, this isn't the first time that Americans have had refugees and didn't take well to them. And then he starts listing all the ethnic migrations that happened over the course of American history, all the immigrants. You know, we were afraid of the Irish, we were afraid of the Italians, we were afraid of the Chinese, we were afraid of the, and he goes on and on to list all these people groups, and now we're afraid of the refugees, and there's really, history's shown there's nothing to be afraid of, which is completely ridiculous, because we didn't have the same attitude towards those other immigrants. The immigrants from Syria and from the Muslim nations are coming from countries that want to annihilate us, practicing a religion that has its core value destroying Christianity. That's why we have a little bit different take on the current quote-unquote refugee migration, that there's a great concern it's infiltrated by terrorism. Okay, so that's all wet. And then here's the point, though, as related to Thanksgiving. He ends the quote with something like, And the only time we've ever seen, you know, an invasion of migrants that ended in massacre and bloodshed was on Thanksgiving. And we're all supposed to go, oh, that's right. When the pilgrims came and stole the land of the Indians and massacred all of them. That's what we're told Thanksgiving is. And it's not true. That's not what happened. And it wasn't a case of migrants coming in and destroying people. One last quote. So that you get the idea of the theme of the left on Thanksgiving, how they loathe our heritage. This is from, again, Huffington Post. Now, this is this year, November 2015. Here's the crazy story about Thanksgiving you've never heard. Again, the new story of Thanksgiving. They've got the corner on the actual true story. And Nick Bauman talks about how a historian and a former Wampanoag, you know, a descendant of the Wampanoag tribe, I think the name is Paula Peters, and the Smithsonian historian talk about the real story of Squanto and how he was kidnapped and persecuted, and then there were these nefarious dealings between the Wampanoag and the Pilgrims, and it wasn't real. It was more Machiavellian. Ends justify the means. Nobody was really friendly, didn't like each other. But the big quote from this Peters, and this is in this is all talked about in the Smithsonian newsletter. So this is what our government is putting out through the Smithsonian institution about the truth. This is what we're being fed from our own government through Smithsonian about the true story of Thanksgiving. But this is what Peter said. The graveyard of Squanto's people became Plymouth Colony. I'm going to read that again. The graveyard of Squanto's people became Plymouth Colony. Just there's the story. Death. Pilgrims came in and they took the land of all the dead Indians. Yes, some of the Indians were wiped out years prior because of a disease, not because Europeans came in and slaughtered them. Okay, enough of that. What's the real story? Well, a great source is David Barton at Wall Builders. But let me paraphrase the real story and then give you some quotes from David Barton's article. The Pilgrims land there in 1620, sign the Mayflower Compact, and constitutional liberty, government by law, free government, under God's law, was birthed on the new American continent. Great moment in history. They disembark, they have a prayer service, and then they start building. Well, it was a horrible winter. A lot of them died, half of them died before that spring. So they were losing tons of people, the weather, food shortages, really not a good winter. But here, Barton goes on. Emerging from that grueling winter, this is David Barton, the pilgrims were surprised when an Indian named Samoset approached them and greeted them in their own language, explaining to them that he had learned English from fishermen and traders. Now, that's true. A week later, Samoset returned with a friend named Squanto, who lived with the pilgrims and accepted their Christian faith. Now, the history of Squanto is important because Squanto is the one who helped them. I'm interrupting Barton here. Squanto had traveled to England, it seems first voluntarily, and then unfortunately he had been kidnapped, but then was set free and then came back to the Americas. In the meantime, his village had been wiped out because of disease. And that was all before the Pilgrims got there. Now Squanto is an English-speaking Indian, as well as Samoset, Pilgrims land. And by God's providence, yeah, God allows these two Indians literally to emerge out of the forest and start communicating with the Pilgrims and helping them. And Squanto, the testimony is, actually got converted, got saved. And that occurred likely as early as his trip to England, also through his time with the Pilgrims. Squanto converted to Christianity and became an invaluable resource for the Pilgrims. So it's awesome to see God's providence, that he provided this English-speaking Indian who was already familiarized with English culture, who had already taken on the true faith of the gospel, and now God providentially brought him out as a support to the Pilgrims at their greatest point of need, teaching them to fish, to cultivate the ground, to grow corn, all the stuff that they needed to survive. And his testimony through the remainder of his life was that of a Christian. On his deathbed, I believe, asked Governor Bradford to pray that he would be received by the English God, by the English Christian God. So Squanto is a great example of peace between the English and the Indians. And yes, the English brought Christianity. Yes, the Pilgrims and the colonists brought Christianity. And Christianity civilizes people and converts every soul from every tribe, nation, and tongue, and language, and people group. It's not about white culture versus Indian culture. It's good when any culture receives the gospel. And Squanto, he got saved. So David Barton goes on. Squanto taught the Pilgrims much about how to live in the New World, and he and Samoset helped forge a long lasting peace treaty between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians. That's the truth. There was peace between the Indians and the Wampanoag. It was God's grace, joyful and wonderful, that they worked well together. Pilgrim Governor William Bradford described Squanto as this, quote, a special instrument sent of God for their good, and he never left them till he died. Bradford speaking about how Squanto came to help the Pilgrims. Now, this is the governor of the Plymouth colony, and this is what's called primary source material. This is direct quotes from Of Plymouth Plantation. Of Plymouth Plantation is the journaling records, the diary of William Bradford, who was governor of the Plymouth colony. That's a good source. That's what that teacher should be reading her kid. Not Howard Zinn's, 300 years later, historical revisionist, a people's history of the United States that destroys our heritage and attacks our heritage. Primary source material is what you need, and Governor Bradford himself testifies about the peace between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag, and how Squanto, he was praising God for the blessing of Squanto, this kind Indian that certainly helped. The Pilgrims needed help. Why can't we celebrate that? Why can't we celebrate that the Pilgrims needed help? God provided nice Indians, there was no bloodshed, and they got along together. And some even accepted the Christian gospel, and there was great celebration. Okay, that summer the Pilgrims persevered in prayer, and they had a lot of help from the Indians. They had a huge harvest. Barton goes on. As Edward Winslow affirmed, he's a Pilgrim, later became the governor. He said this, God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn. By the goodness of God, we are far from want. So the Pilgrims, what did they do in 1621, a year later after arriving? 3-day feast in December, thanking God, celebrating with their Indian friends. That's our first Thanksgiving festival. 90 Wampanoag Indians joined. 3 days of feasting, games, tons of food, and a time of prayer. And that celebration, in its original form and all the activities, were the beginnings of the tradition that we now celebrate called Thanksgiving. What a great story. And we get to hear from the left how it was just a story of slaughter, anger, and division and discord. It's just not true. It was a story of God's grace to the Pilgrims and to the Indians. Now, the first national Thanksgiving occurred a century later, a century and a half later, 1789, when George Washington issued the Thanksgiving Proclamation right after we became a nation. After the Constitution, the Bill of Rights were framed, the new federal government, Congress called for a national day of Thanksgiving. Then it still wasn't solidified. The states kind of did it on their own. Lincoln did another national day of Thanksgiving the last Thursday of November in 1863 in the middle of the Civil War. And then it wasn't all the way until 1941. Again, presidents followed Lincoln's precedent throughout for the next 100 years or so, setting aside a day of Thanksgiving, but then Congress made it official in 1941. So that's the story of Thanksgiving, a great story to cherish. God brought the pilgrims here for religious freedom and birthed the new nation, the concept of civil liberty and constitutional law with the Mayflower. They were troubled and starving, and the Indians, God brought Squanto and Samoset there to help, and there was a great alliance between the pilgrims and the Indians. Every reason to celebrate the advancement of the gospel, the advancement of liberty, and the wonderful union of two people groups, and God's provision in the midst of want. That's Thanksgiving, and we thank Almighty God for His grace to us and to our nation. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. America wasn't founded by a bunch of poor-hating, Indian-murdering, minority-abusing, ethnocentric property thieves who exploited the poor of the new continent and butchered the Indians. And the real story of Thanksgiving isn't one of horrible bloodshed and violence and abuse. How depressing. The real story is one of celebrating God's goodness toward the pilgrims and the Indians in providing a bountiful harvest despite all the odds. And one of the great manifestations of God's grace was the appearance of Squanto, the Indian that helped save the day. Praise God that He provided Squanto for just such a time as this, a time of dire need in American history. And so we celebrate Squanto and his peaceful alliance with the pilgrims. I couldn't have been more proud of my son yesterday when he went to his little school dressed up as one of those heroes from history, an Indian from the Plymouth Colony. And when liberals give this historical revisionist version of Thanksgiving to make you guilty and depress everyone and try and sound sophisticated like they found out the real sinister truth and all they do is attack your Christian heritage, well, tell them to quit reading Howard Zinn. Get a real history book. And tell them to go find an elementary school Thanksgiving celebration to attend so they can learn the real truth from little kids who seem to know it better than angry liberals. Buy them a pilgrim suit and invite them over. Give them a large helping of turkey and common sense. And then go ahead, hold their feet to the fire. Just wait till after dinner, though, so you can at least enjoy the meal.